This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get up. Beware,
IGN GameScoop. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, David Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Ass to ass.
Ryan Geddes is here.
Hello.
And Sam Claiborne is here.
Oh, it's my first GameScoop. I'm so happy to be
what?
Here.
What? This is your first GameScoop?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I couldn't remember if you had been on.
I've been on a bunch of podcasts, but I always said, if the last thing I ever do is get a GameScoop, then good enough.
Yeah, so happy please, with that. Yeah, welcome. Yeah. You're obviously listening. Sam is one of our guides gurus here at IGN.
He's much more than that. He also does awesome features and hacks and tons of stuff.
And I run our cheats channel, so I get to read fake cheats all the time. So yeah. If you're interested in submitting some fake cheats, send them my way, because I really enjoy them.
Nice. We got a long 3-day weekend coming up.
Yes. I started about that a little while ago.
Did you? You're already on there?
Yeah.
Already Miller time. Coasting.
Three sheets to the wind.
Staring at a blank Word document all day long. What are we celebrating this Monday?
It's a President's Day.
Presidents, I guess.
Oh, the Presidents. Mm-hmm. Nice guys.
Yeah. They've helped us out a lot.
So don't come into the office on Monday. Again. But before we go, we have to record a GameScoop. We have lots of stuff to talk about. It's been kind of a big week.
Yeah.
Lots of zombie news this week. Zombie games in development. Zombies have been popular for a little bit now. I don't know.
It's cool, but you know, you never see zombies in games though. So I'm glad there's finally a crossover.
Well, it takes a while for things in pop culture to trickle down to gaming.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Like we were talking about earlier today, last night Telltale announced Walking Dead, the game based on the Walking Dead comics and TV series.
Yeah.
But I think the thunder had been stolen from that announcement a little bit.
It should have been a lot bigger than it was.
Yeah.
It should have been the zombie news of the week.
Yes.
But instead, really, Dead Island.
Yeah.
That's Dead Island. That's what we were talking about. Chuck from NBC tweeted about it. Also, Ice-T from NBC.
Yeah.
I tell you, NBC, they are on the cutting edge of IGN news.
And Simon Pegg, who is not from NBC.
This is a trailer we put up on Monday that totally...
Wednesday.
Oh, just on Wednesday, yeah. Totally blew up. God, it did like 500,000 views on the first day. I looked, it did another 275,000. Yeah, I just can't stop watching
your screen. Nice tea.
Can't stop watching.
Should we do a little bit of the music, Greg?
Yeah.
How's it?
I remember the bongs.
The bongs?
Yeah.
Is the music from something else? I'm getting sad now.
Yeah, this is not quite as affecting when you guys do it.
Really?
I
thought it was better.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dead Island trailer went up and it was awesome.
So this is kind of a interesting. I mean, Dead Island was announced years ago.
Yeah, this game was announced in 2007. You wrote the original announcement story.
Yes.
News announcement story on IGN, 2007. as Techland, Polish developer, the guys who did Call of Juarez and Chrome.
Polish.
Yes, they're
Shut
Polish.
The front door.
They're from Poland. Yes, they have three offices in Poland, actually.
Cool.
And then they just announced a sequel to Call of Juarez, right?
Yeah. There was Call of Juarez Bound in Blood, right? Was the sequel? And there's another one.
Now there's another one that's set in modern day, I think.
Yeah. Call of the Future, I think it's called.
Yeah, Call of modern Juarez, I think.
But yeah, these guys have been working on this game the whole time. I put it on, you know, the feature life support, where it's like games that are kind of, they disappeared. We haven't heard about them for a while. It was on there. I thought I would never see this game come to light. But then finally, they got a publisher, Deep Silver, out of Germany, and they showed me the game a couple weeks ago, and it was looking good, and they said they had an awesome trailer, and then I saw the trailer, and I was like, oh, snap. So yeah, we put it up.
So hopefully, listeners, you've seen this trailer by now. If not, you definitely should check it out. It's awesome.
So it runs backwards and forwards.
Yeah, so spoilers in the beginning.
Yeah, we did a reverse then when we... So I think yesterday we put up like the back to front so you can see it in sequential order.
Oh, wow, I haven't seen that yet. Does it make sense? I mean,
it does. Yeah, it tells the story of what happens.
It takes a lot of the oomph out of it, though.
Yeah, for sure.
But then Greg and I just today recorded a Rewind Theater where we go through pretty much frame by frame. So that's going up. If you listen to this on Friday, it's going up this evening. So you'll just check IGN tonight. It'll go up in a few hours.
Are those characters in the game?
Can you please put down the Warhammer?
What? I like this
Ladies
thing.
And gentlemen, he has two mailing tubes taped together with Alabama collegiate duct tape.
Isn't that the Oakland A's? I thought it was...
this is collegiate. Okay. He's written Moljar on the side
Mjolnir,
of it.
That's the name
of
Thor's mythical
hammer. And now he's trying to be
all
professional and talking with this giant ham.
Look, okay, when I was a kid... Around Christmas time, there'd always be a lot of empty wrapping paper tubes, and I used to like playing with them. So there happened to be two of them in the office. One's tall, one's a little stubby one. So I made like a Warhammer. I taped them together. Mm-hmm. Here, Sam, you take this. Tell me it's not fun to hold on to.
Hey, did you grow up with cats in your house?
I didn't.
Cats are really scared of tubes, if like talking through tubes and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh really?
Yeah, totally. Really?
Yeah. I've had a couple cats, you know, growing up, and every time you pick it up, you're like, hey, kitty. And they're like, ah!
What's happening? Yeah. Now tell me that's not a satisfying feeling.
Try it at home. Yeah, it is that. Satisfying, yeah.
Okay.
So, I thought this was something that somebody had sent into GameScoop, and there's something, like, wrapped in here. So the whole time you came, I thought we were going to, like, unpackage this in the show.
No.
Like,
what's in the tube?
What could possibly in the two T-tubes?
There was a Michael Jordan poster in there, I think. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Dead Island, really, really cool. We have yet to see the meat and potatoes of this game, right? That's just a trailer, so we haven't seen any... I mean, I've seen some gameplay, but it was just a really small slice that... it doesn't really tell us what the final game's going to be like.
From what you saw on that, do you think it could actually come out this year? That's what they're saying, right, 2011?
It could.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could.
Do you think it will?
Don't think it will. If I had to gamble on it right now, I would say that game will be maybe a summer release next year. But they're saying 2011. This is just total guesswork.
I'm really interested to see it because, like, you know, I'm a big zombie fan, and some of the stuff they're doing sounds cool. Like, I like the fact that, I mean, it's melee combat. You say it's first person, which is
but
really
weird. Tell us what is the game actually like.
So,
there's this island.
Basically,
shit's dead on it, man.
What's
your problem, Hatfield?
You.
Oh, whatever. I'm going to have a late game scoop and then be pouty all day during it. That's your...
in a bit of a mood today.
Thank you.
This is not true. This really isn't true.
All right, let's be honest. What's wrong?
I had bad tacos for lunch. Really, really disappointing tacos.
They weren't really tacos at all.
You go to South Park?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your problem. It's just mediocre Mexican food.
Yeah,
the torta is amazing.
No.
I just ate the crap out of it, and I had a perfectly good experience. Yeah, I ate the chicken out of it.
Nice view of the park, though.
Well, the park is very nice.
Unless it's raining.
Anyway, we can't seem to keep on track with Dead Island here.
So the game is, it's a first-person melee action / RPG kind of deal.
I think you got it. I mean, you used that exact description in the article.
Did I? Okay. Also, it's an RTS and a match 3 puzzle game, tower defense. So you come to this island
for fans of the genre.
Yes, there's four character classes to choose from. Okay, and you can start out as either one of them. One's a ranged guy. One's a tank guy. One's more of a middle ground guy. No, this is serious.
Oh, okay.
There's four different classes. You pick which one you want, and you can play through a single player as that character. And you play through the perspective of somebody who's come to the island as a tourist or whatever, and then this outbreak occurs, and you got to fight your way off the island. Mm-hmm. The combat is overall, it's melee. So you pick up stuff in the environment. You might find Thor's hammer, like Sam has here. You might find a pipe, a machete, whatever it is. And your weapons degrade over time. So the more you hit with them, the more they become useless, unless you repair them at workbenches. And you can also upgrade your weapons with stuff you find in the environment. So you can make your, you know, pipe become more... do more damage and make an axe do more damage, whatever. And there are some firearms, but it's very, very limited, like you would find on a real island. You know, it's not like Left 4 Dead where there's just like piles of weapons everywhere. It's like, hey, you might find a gun in some random dude's desk drawer, but then the ammo is very limited and it's not going to last you very long. So it's definitely about getting up in the face of zombies. And there's different zombie classes.
Is that nice family in the game that you saw?
No, that
family.
Yeah, well, Greg plays the music. The family that you see in the game is a side story to that of the main characters. Okay. So what's
can you
happening?
Save them and prevent that horrible stuff?
See, I don't know. And I got
talking. How cool would that be if you see like this horrible ending in the trailer, and then like you know, like oh, I don't want that outcome to happen through the whole game. And I think that'd be a
that'd be your motivation.
You know what? Yeah. Here's what I'm gonna say, Sam.
Because it's really sad.
That family might have it coming.
Really?
He wears a wedding ring. She does not. Maybe they're out on in a little, you know, affair. I don't know why they have the kid there.
You guys
maybe
really
the kid's hers.
Rewinds
maybe
theaters,
the kid's hers.
You?
I didn't think. That's
we
the
also talked
ring.
About the fact that the parenting is really not that good. They let the girl run around the halls of the hotel
no,
by herself.
No.
Well, that's what happened. She's running by herself.
She's running away from zombies. The outbreak has happened. They're aware of it. They're already in their room. This is just like how I've said. If it got really bad in the zombie apocalypse and they're at the door, Portillo gets tossed over the railing. He's gone.
Oh, first.
But you don't want him.
You're
to.
Gonna throw Portillo out, off
yes.
the balcony. Why?
Yes. Because he barks. Like if Portillo was in the room right now staring at me and I went, he would start barking. So some shambling
couldn't
corpse
you just
is in the
put
hall.
Him in a pillowcase or something? Do you have to throw him over the edge?
No, I don't want to suffocate
get
him like that
tube.
Baby on MASH.
Get a big tube and yell through it. He'll just cower in the corner.
That's still generating noise. Anyways, I'm saying...
You're choosing yourself over Portillo.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, wow.
I'm a human being.
I thought you loved your dog.
I do love my dog. Did. And I think that's a better way to go than seeing me eaten or him being eaten or whatever. And not to mention...
I like zombies say, eat dogs.
Zombie Portillo would be pretty cute.
Well, yeah, it would be adorable.
Of course. Yeah. What, I mean, once I'm dead, he's... Anyway, we're getting off track. The parents... Zombie apocalypse happens. They lock themselves in.
So then, why is she running around by herself in the hallway?
Because she was already out at the pool or something. And
by herself?
But she wasn't running toward them. She was. Well, I guess
she was running towards them.
Yeah.
She was running back home. She was out doing something and ran back.
So this is what I'm saying. It's bad parenting
but
to let your child run around the hotel by herself. She's like 8 years old.
At resorts, they do children activities. Maybe she was at children's arts and crafts times.
That is a fair point.
Thank you. This is all inclusive. Do you understand? You get the wristband.
Okay.
You get to go to the arts and crafts. You get to get a drink.
She didn't have
parents.
Like a plate of you know blueberry muffins or anything that she might have got at the continental breakfast.
The real sad story that we didn't even touch on in this is that this is day one. They just got there. They haven't enjoyed anything.
Bag.
I know, right?
Yeah.
They're gonna have a great. What's happening? What's happening on the lawn?
Other things about the game. It's open world, so there's quests you can do and things you need to do to solve what's happening with on the island with the mystery. Is, but you can go anywhere and do kind of anything you want. This is what they're saying, right? This always changes. We hear this a lot about games, and then it ends up being a little bit more restrictive than we thought. But a lot of the things you see in the trailer, like the lighthouse in the distance and all that stuff, you can actually go to these places in the game.
Mm. Well, hopefully...
So we'll see, right?
Hopefully it's not a case where it's an awesome trailer and the game's like...
It's very likely, right? We see that happens a lot. So I hope it's not in this case. I mean, they got a lot of people very excited, so they have a lot to live up
to
after that trailer.
People are definitely thinking about that game now.
And they're showing it at GDC, so I mean, it'll be our chance to kind of get a look at it, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a little bit more shown. We don't know what yet exactly. Yeah. If they're just going to show the same demo to a lot of people that they already showed to us or not. But anyway, so yeah, tough week for
Walking
Dead.
Looks like
it
has more serious tone.
Well,
it's not campy.
Also, like everything you describe sounds like Dead Rising, right? Like a lot of that,
but
you know,
strip
fixing
the humor
stuff.
Off.
Yeah, but just take out the goofiness.
Yeah.
So then the next day, Telltale announces Walking Dead, the game.
Yeah.
And this is bad timing, is all it is. Neither one of these companies knew that the other one was doing this.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where Walking Dead comes out and it's a huge name to be attached to, and they have nothing to show for it. They had no trailer,
they're just saying,
we are making
this game.
They had art. They didn't even, like, I had an interview with Kirkman go up on IGN, Robert Kirkman, the creator. And he couldn't go into what kind of game it was, whether it was first person, third person adventure action.
Did you talk to him at all about the Dead Island thing? And
No. Because he could only do it through email because of his schedule for travel. So,
we know what kind of games the Telltale's been making.
Exactly.
Right?
You just saw Jurassic Park, right?
Yeah, and actually that's pretty different from what Telltale has usually been doing. Telltale
Absolutely.
Makes downloadable point-and-click adventures.
Yeah,
Sam and Max,
Back to the Future.
I would like to point out here that Sam has had ample opportunity to set Mjolnir aside, and he still is wielding it as it should be wielded.
Yeah.
Check this out. Look, I'm going to use it as a crutch.
No,
yes!
I'm going to open a bottle of wine.
wait, TNT's got to explode.
Defacing it.
I'm so happy he's here. Sam Claiborne's one of my favorite people in the office, but I never get to hang out with him, so I always think he doesn't like me.
No, he's just he's focused. Sam is focused.
I just thought when you said that you were being passive-aggressive and you didn't like me.
No.
All right, cool.
Oh, wait, Damon, I can't tell him what I'm doing with this one. This is what I'm going to do with mine.
Wait, is that how it works for you?
Yeah. Well, okay. The blood's being pumped into it.
Okay.
Blood,
it's not, I don't know. It's how, not just like... You're just... Depending on what's, you know, going on.
I really wish we were videotaping today's podcast, but...
Smoking a pipe. Pipes still look... I don't smoke. I don't know. Like
anyway... what dressing?
I love doing visual gags for this audio podcast.
Jurassic Park from Telltale is more like Dragon's Lair, or I am told Heavy Rain could make it more than an hour into that game. But, you're like, you know,
because it was so intense.
Yeah, it was just too much for me.
But yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
More visual gags, audience. Yeah.
But yeah, it is like Heavy Rain where you're like just hitting buttons.
You're following
right
on screen
quick time
cues.
Events.
Yeah, quick time events to escape from dinosaurs, basically. Yeah. But there's lots of cool like grizzly dinosaur deaths.
So are you moving the character at all, or is it like you're watching it and then something? It's like all quick time.
Yeah, from what we've seen, you're not directly controlling a character.
Okay. Yeah, that's why it is like other Telltale games, though, right? I think that's kind of a PC style adventure game too. And so I think like anything they're going to do with Walking Dead is probably going to be, you know, really story based and just choose
your own
adventure.
That's what they talk about, right? Because I mean, The Walking Dead, when you read it, for people who haven't, it's super text heavy. No, I'm not giving you spoilers. It's just the way it's set up. I mean, it's Kirkman writes novels in these things, and then zombies just happen to crash through a wall and do something, or you know, this happens, blah blah blah. So they were talking about, you know, keeping that. That's going to be the nut of the thing, right? Is that they want to bring that storytelling experience to interactive video games.
So is it more of an interactive comic than a game?
No idea. We'll see. They're saying Q4 for this year.
And they're working on other comic and movie based stuff too, right?
So. The way they announced it was for Kirkman's tie-in was that it was a multi-year, multi-series, multi-deal.
So he also does Invincible.
He also does Invincible. He also does Astonishing Wolfman, which I hope we don't get. Just give me Invincible, and then we'll be all set.
Astonishing Wolfman sounds amazing. I don't know what it is.
You would like it. You would very much like it,
but I would like it.
I don't hate it. It's just it doesn't do it for me.
It's
but
dumb.
You would love from everything you know with your Majori hammer here and you're just jumping around.
I do like werewolves.
Yeah. This one, and he's a smart werewolf. When he's a werewolf, he's smart.
So he knows what's happening when he's a werewolf?
He's aware of what he is?
He's a werewolf.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was not planned. Greg Miller. Yeah,
it's the hammer.
I know. I'm telling you.
Who holds this hammer? Is he be worthy?
I'm telling you, it's addictive.
It is addictive. I agree.
Well, now
does it feel good?
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know if I can. I host a podcast while holding this.
I think
sure. It doesn't look good with Damon.
Does it look good?
What? I'm just kidding.
Man, jeez.
Sam tells it like it is.
We have a Jurassic Park kill montage going up on IGN today. That's really fun.
Killing the dinosaurs or
people getting killed by
dinosaurs? From what I heard, too, just to give more feedback, if this is the first time they heard about the Jurassic Parks, set in the time of the first movie, you're connected to the Newman story somehow with the Barbasol that has the museum.
Something that is going on like that. One of the main characters,
Dennis Nedry, has escaped with it and died already.
Okay.
And that's kind of set the motions of Jurassic Park events, like. So everything's escaping,
gotcha.
I think, when the game starts. But it's not the same people.
No. If you remember in the movie, when they find the sick Triceratops, I think, and there's like a park ranger there, that guy is like one of the main characters in
this
game.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
So it's following him.
I like that.
It's following him and his family. And then the guys at Telltale were telling me that by the end of the first episode, you're escaping the island, and then the following episodes will follow the events of Jurassic Park 2 and 3.
Oh, cool.
You're laughing at me. Take it away from me.
No, it's funny. It's just the problem with the hammer is that it's fine when you're goofing around, but as soon as you start making a real point about anything, you're holding cardboard tubes. That's why I was laughing at Geddes. One hand is completely explaining this game we've never heard about, and he's all into it, and then the other hand is holding Alabama taped up tubes.
Pretty good.
That's funny. So, did any of you guys read the Michael Crichton Jurassic Park books?
Oh, yeah.
I remember being really freaked out. I love the first book, just as an action sort of adventure story. The second one creeped me out, because that was the one when the dinosaurs escaped the island, and there was a story about, what were the little ones called? Not the raptors, but the smaller ones?
The ones that spit?
Yeah.
Spitters.
They were, like, going into a little village and stealing, like, children out of their beds and stuff and eating them. This is what I remember, like, from the book. So it was creepy. Like, Jurassic Park got really scary.
Yeah.
For me, I guess, when I was young.
It's probably just pages your mom wrote and put in there.
And if they didn't eat all their greens, the spinny dinosaurs crawled into their bedrooms.
Yeah, that may explain why all the alien abduction stuff was in my little golden books, too.
So at the event last night, we were all standing around, like, there's a big thing of TVs, and everybody was, like, earnestly playing these, you know, this game, like, trying to escape these dinosaurs. And IGN was there with a crew and a bunch of people standing around it while they killed people over and over.
Anthony Gallegos was playing it, and he was purposely dying at every time because we were
everybody
filming
else
it,
yeah. Sitting silently, kind of going through the game, like, oh, and, like, mashing buttons. And Anthony, you know, everybody just uproariously sees, you know, these people getting torn apart. It's, like, violent.
Yeah, it's
like,
awesome.
And does it look realistic? I haven't had a chance to look at the article before this.
Yeah, it's a little... There's stylized, like, caricatures. Yeah. It's
definitely stylized. But you know what's Jurassic Park style? It's like the T-Rex from Jurassic Park looks like that T-Rex, like with these, like, ridges above its eyes. And, like, I don't know. You can kind of tell. I think we were actually talking to a programmer that was saying that they did a bunch of research on dinosaurs and stuff, but also, like, just watch the old movies and just try to get that CG down.
Is really Jeff Goldblum in it?
No, I don't think they have anybody.
Do you have to pilot a raft down, like, a series of waterfalls? Because that was my favorite part in the Sega Genesis Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Did you play the Super Nintendo one?
No, I'm sure it was the same, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was, right? Like a top-down, like, Zelda-like adventure.
No.
And then you go inside a building, and it's like Doom.
So really? It was first
Doom.
Person?
It was first person on Super Nintendo, like, rendered.
Well, Doom,
like,
was on Super Nintendo.
Yeah,
I liked,
it looks pretty
good. I like the first person games on.
Interesting.
Super Nintendo.
We should do a visual history on that,
yeah,
maybe.
Jurassic Park.
Also, Telltale also announced they're rebooting the King's Quest franchise, which is very exciting.
Yeah, really
didn't show anything on that either, but at least we know that's
coming.
Do you
really like King's Quest?
I really do.
People keep lauding King's Quest, and I played it, and I remember just being, I didn't know what to do. I mean, what do you do in those games?
Yeah, it's very, very complicated. You get stuck very easily.
Mm-hmm. Which ones did you play? Five?
Five and
I played five on the NES.
Me too.
Oh, see, yeah, right?
Why did they do
PC?
That?
I know, but
it's the cruelest
thing.
At the time,
I didn't know any better.
I only played.
I thought it was awesome.
Didn't they also announce Fables?
Yes, they're making Fables, which,
dude,
maybe you can explain what Fables is.
No, I never got into the series, so I was excited when I saw it.
I read the first book last night.
Yeah,
what'd you think of it?
Yeah, I'd read one before, but it's goofy. You know, the premise is that it's like Snow White and the Big Bad Wolf and, like, the Three Little Pigs. Like,
it's all these storybook characters from Fables. That have...
Jack and the Beanstalk in New York City, because they've been banished from the storybook realm. And they treat it like almost like a Watchmen type thing, where it's like, this is what would happen if they're in real life. So they have to keep their identity secret, kind of, and just, like, goodbye. It's a ridiculous premise, and it's written well enough to not be, like, totally embarrassing when you're reading it. And the art's cool and stuff. I think it could be an interesting adventure game. But see, when you do get, like, tipped off to, like, you know, like, oh, this Jack character is actually Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk, because they, like, give little hints, like, oh, yeah, it used to be, you know, this giant killer. What a jerk. It's just kind of strange, you know? It was a weird vibe.
Telltale announced a bunch of stuff. They got that. They have Puzzle Agent 2 coming this summer, too. So,
what's that? Do you know what Puzzle Agent?
Puzzle Agent came out last summer. It's like it's their take on Professor Layton. So it's exactly that same sort of gameplay where you're an investigator in a town that's sort of like Fargo, North Dakota.
Is he a gentleman?
How do you mean? Oh,
like Professor Layton is all about being a gentleman.
It's more about the weirdness of the town. It's like a weird sort of Coen Brothers-esque.
Okay, so he's a jerk.
Vision of a town. Yeah. And then you solve puzzles going around too. And then Puzzle Agent 2 is coming this summer. So, thanks. Telltale is kind of a small developer and publisher.
And they're just doing so much.
They're just doing tons
and they're into everything they're doing too. They also
I know, yeah. They're sort of, you know, they sort of pioneered the whole downloadable episodic thing. So apparently that's going well for them. Greg.
Yeah.
Sony's banning PS3s?
Yeah,
is my PS3 going to be banned?
It's about time.
No, yours doesn't get turned on, so you don't have to worry about it. Those firmware updates will be there when they're ready, Damon. Don't you worry. You know, there's been some hackings and hacksores going on. So now they have some kind of system running where if it finds that you're playing with a hacksored stuff or tweaking stuff in emulators and whatnot, if you're basically being a bad person with your PS3.
A bad person.
Yeah. Originally, the story was that they would ban your PS3 from ever being able to connect online. Uh-huh. Since then, they've gone back and said it bans your PSN account, which
so
really
doesn't
anything. Stop anything at all.
So you can start a new account?
Exactly. Because they're free, so what do you care?
So it's a non-story.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
It's not only is it a non-story, it's complicated and twisted and turned around. And you got a press release correct.
But they should be punishing people for stealing, because that's stupid.
Yeah. Well, they got to figure
out
a way to do it.
They shouldn't be, or
they should? They should be.
Mm.
Yeah, they should be. It's evil.
Evil. It's evil. You yourself are not averse to using emulators, though.
I don't like emulators. In fact, I could write a bitchin' editorial on why I like emulators. But I'm not going to, because it's boring.
Geddes probably wouldn't be interested in that.
Yeah. No. I don't like them. I like playing. You know, I'm all about the classic experience, right? I like playing an NES game on an old television.
Yeah, you do that too.
I own arcade machines. So like, I don't even like the stupid emulation arcade machines here. Like, they don't have, the screens aren't rotated. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. I mean, I think it's stealing. I own a bunch of games. Like, I like to play those on the go if I could. But yeah. What do you think of emulation, Damon?
I think for older stuff, it's fine. You know, it depends.
It's necessary if you want to know about every arcade game ever made.
Yeah. I mean, I like that you can still play any NES game, you know, right now that you want to, without having to like track down a cartridge and blow in it and hope that it works. Whatever.
Virtual console's not helping with that either, because there's not enough games on there to like cover.
Yeah, that's true. Emulation isn't really the problem with me. It's like people that are like bootlegging, pirating games now, like more current games,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I mean, no one's really making money off of a 30-year-old game now.
If I want to play,
unless it's something that's available on virtual console or you know whatever.
Exactly.
But
if I want to play Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle on NES,
I was just playing that game. I can't believe that's really strange.
Kimco, Shadow Game.
I was playing that at Coco.
There you go.
There's a cute little song in the background. Yeah.
Hum a few bars.
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'll do it for you.
Boom. Get it.
Boom.
Get us is Bungie's next game outed. Also a non-news story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we knew that they were thinking about making a persistent online game based on some comments they've made at panels in the past.
Uh-huh.
But the part about them laying off a bunch of people and there being an Activision push to, you know, have them axe some contractors
and
stuff.
That's
all garbage.
Well, that's what the source was, right? The source was like, I got laid off, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah,
that's,
blah, blah.
That's, and don't put any faith in that at all.
But what was the original thing about one of the Halo devs said, like, yeah, what if you could play?
Totally.
What if you could play in a multiplayer world?
Joe Staten, who's been at Bungie for a long time, like, he said, I think it was a PAX panel maybe or a GDC panel. I don't know what it was, but you know, somebody asked him what they're doing with their new game, and he said something like, I don't want to misquote him, but it was something like, wouldn't it be cool if you could play a Bungie game that was always there for you, or something like that. To go back to the IGN article, you can see it's linked there, what he exactly said, but he didn't say we're making an MMO, didn't say we're making a persistent online game, but what I've said, I think I commented in the comments field of that article even, is Bungie already has an MMO. It's called Halo Reach, and it has multiplayer matchmaking that is so fully functional that it's almost like you're playing online with this huge community, right? So the idea is, what if somehow that information was persistent? What if somehow there was something about your character that stayed in the world after you left, and you had a sense that your character was kind of always connected somehow? I know they're hiring people who do mobile work, so wouldn't it be cool if I could do stuff in the game from my mobile phone that, like, I could have a little avatar that I could do stuff with. I don't know what they're doing. We're only guessing at this point, but connectedness is what's happening in games. So if Bungie's not doing something that makes your experience more connected, then they're dropping the ball.
Was there a fake title attached to
it? It was called Destiny. That's what they said. But
there might be a planet in the Halo universe, I think.
Well, this isn't a Halo game.
Oh, okay. This is not a Halo.
It's a brand new IP. Yeah, so backing up a little bit, this is the game that Bungie is doing on a 10-year contract with
Halo
Activision.
Okay.
No, yeah, Bungie's done with Halo.
Bungie's done with Halo. Halo's being handled completely by Microsoft now.
Course,
so,
yeah.
But the question is whether or not Destiny is the name of their new project. I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of code names for their stuff. As Martin pointed out in the article, the original Bungie game had a bunch of crazy code names. So who knows?
Do you think it'll be on PlayStation?
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be a they've said it's going to be a multi-platform game. Yeah, so expect it on PS3.
And the Wii?
Yes, on the Wii. Actually, knowing Activision, I'm sure they would love to have something on the Wii, but knowing Bungie, probably not.
They've changed their ways, remember?
Yes,
Activision,
they're different now.
They're flying straight now.
They're opening studios, left and right.
You know what? There's a Halo for DS, so who knows?
That's true.
Stuff it. You've been stuffed.
You cannot go to your store and buy Halo for DS, but
no, but it did exist for a short period.
It did exist.
A couple weeks ago, a sequel to The Darkness was announced, and now we know that Mike Patton will be returning to provide the voice of
Woo-hoo!
The Darkness. Big Mike Patton fan myself.
Yeah.
Apparently, the first Darkness game didn't turn out so well, but
so let's make another one.
That was.
I heard there was a mode where you could just sit on the couch with your girlfriend and watch a movie.
There are like movies showing playing on TVs in the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's how it works.
That was cute.
The Darkness was one of the first games when I went to my first E3 with IGN in 2006, and I was going around the show floor getting demos of BioShock and Mass Effect, and I also got a demo of The Darkness, and at the time I thought it looked great. But
this one's gonna be the one. I've seen some other crap no one's gonna care about.
Oh, but we're gonna see more of Darkness 2 at GDC in a couple weeks. Sam, we love this new Contra game.
Oh, it's so good.
Hardcore Uprising.
I'm going to make this like totally controversial statement. It's the best Contra game ever.
I know you've been saying that. That's a pretty strong statement. Yeah.
Better than Contra?
Thank you. Yeah, it's better than Contra.
It's awesome. It's really, really good. I don't know why they didn't call it Contra.
I guess it's not the best Contra game ever made, then.
It's supposed to be a sequel to Contra Hardcore on the Genesis, which I always thought
was
my favorite.
Did you actually research the story or anything? Is that true?
This is just what Konami tells me.
They actually said that.
They
huh?
say that, and Bahamut, the guy in the game, is the bad guy from Hardcore.
Weird.
But he's had a change of heart now.
That's so obscure. It's nobody played that Genesis.
Does Konami
Contra
still own the Contra license? Actual Contra license? Okay.
And, it plays just like Contra. It has music from Contra.
It has spread. It has machine gun. Yeah, it has the same weapons, laser. And then, the music.
Because they realize that kids, now don't have... the word Contra means nothing to them. Whereas the 80s, you couldn't turn on the TV without hearing about the Contras. Yeah.
But then it's why not use it anyway? Does Hardcore Uprising mean something to them?
I don't know. Hardcore... People say the word hardcore all the time now, and they never said it.
It's proper hardcore.
They should have called it proper hardcore uprising.
Did you hear that in Europe, Contra series is called Probotector?
It is called Probotector.
Probotector?
Probotector.
Yeah. What's it called in Japan? Or what's
Probotector
it?
Hardcore.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Because I guess the whole Contra thing wasn't as big to them in the 80s, I guess.
Yeah, because they didn't fund the Contras
but
illegally.
Damien,
didn't they, though?
What makes this game super different from Contra?
Rising mode.
Yeah.
It's a persistent experience point leveling up system that makes it so cool. So every time you play in Rising mode, you're earning points. The game is super, super hard, just like a Contra game like you would expect. Really cheap deaths. You get hit once and you lose your awesome weapon. But every time you play, you earn points. And then you can spend your points in the shop to...
Yeah, so you die and you get kicked back to level one. You don't just start the level over. You can continue a few times and then you lose everything.
Yeah.
But every bit of progress you made is encapsulated in this point system.
Exactly.
Go to the store, you buy better weapons, you start those levels again, and you just blaze through.
Exactly.
It's just the best feeling.
Cool. You buy more health for yourself, you buy more continues. So
yeah.
You're never ever wasting your time with the game.
Yeah, I've been grinding in Contra.
Exactly.
I go to the first level and
what it is.
I just blitz my way through it. It's so fun.
It's brilliant.
I've been playing with friends online. It's great co-op. So they drop in, we both just score a bunch of points just because I have later levels so I can take them through those. It's just mm-hmm. It's a really cool idea. It's kind of like the Castlevania Konami did. HD. This
Harmony
is much cooler, I think. Although
yeah,
there are some people in the office that really liked Harmony of Despair.
It's true.
But Konami, I think they're on a roll with these little versions, these little downloadable versions of their big games.
Yeah, their reboot of Rocket Knight Adventures wasn't so hot last year.
I didn't play that.
Point out that a lot of our conversation today has been about these small downloadable games.
That's true.
Totally. All the Telltale games, the Walking Dead game, the Contra game, this is very different from even a year ago when downloadable games were a very small part of the conversation.
Well, also, all this week at home, when I'm not playing Contra or Hardcore, I've been playing Stacking,
me too.
I'm
just going back and forth. Yeah. And honestly, Dead Space 2 has been on hold for me because of those games.
Me too.
I'm just I want to get through it.
For me, it's Fallout New Vegas is on hold because I'm playing these smaller games.
Ooh, don't go back.
No, don't go back. You don't like it at all?
It's hard to tell if you're having fun in that game.
That is a really good way of pointing it out. I played a lot of Fallout New Vegas.
I beat 80 hours and just recently just completed it. And I just looking back, I'm
Well, I was just doing it. I wasn't really maybe enjoying
doing
it.
Doing it well. I'm pretty sure I was having fun with Fallout New Vegas.
Cool.
I want to go back to it. But...
Bully for you.
Anyway, definitely check out Hardcore Uprising. Super fun. Really, lots of great big action movie sequences in that game.
There are. In fact, the over-the-top stuff is really good in it. And, it has this anime graphics thing, which normally is kind of a turnoff for me, but I really like... It's just pretty. It's
it looks really good.
Hand-drawn, little sprites.
This was developed by Arc System Works, the guys that do Blaze Blue and Guilty Gear, so it has a very different look for Contra.
Cool.
It's great. Definitely check it out. It's out on XBLA now, coming to PSN in the not too distant future.
Really? Not out on PS4?
In the not too distant future.
See, we're out of news stories.
Next.
Uh-huh. You missed the big one.
Which one?
No multiplayer in Batman Arkham Asylum, or Arkham City.
That is great news. You know, I know, right?
Thank God.
That is big news.
Thank God. Really cool. Are they going to announce that for Mass Effect at some point?
No. Probably not.
You think it's going to be multiplayer?
I think about multiplayer in there.
Yeah, we found that out this week. We were a little bit worried that there was going to be some sort of multiplayer forced into Batman.
I mean, how weird is it to say that, but it's absolutely legitimate. Like, I don't want it to have multiplayer.
So, wait a minute. You think Dead Space 2 is great, though, right?
Yeah.
Right, Greg?
Yeah.
And it doesn't
but it still had multiplayer in it, and you didn't play it, so who cares if there's multiplayer in it or not?
It's true.
Because we were worried that this would be a Batman-Robin story or a Batman-Catwoman story where
it would be built around multiplayer. I see. Yeah. You're talking more about co-op than like competitive multiplayer.
I'm just talking about messing with a good thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Uncharted did it in a really nice way, right? Where they had the normal Uncharted single player that was great, mm-hmm. and then they had these little offshoot co-op things you could do. Dead Space, same thing. Great single player story, then there's competitive multiplayer if you want to go do it. That's as long as they're doing it with that method, fine. Okay. And it's not breaking the team in half, so they're not all focusing on one
goal. Yeah, and they said that in the response to your interview, right? He said, this is the reason we're not doing it, is because we want to put all our resources into making a great single-player game. That's what I want to hear from developers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like the pressure you get from your publisher to be like, you know, we need multiplayer in this game.
Yeah.
Like, to be able to resist that is awesome. Like, it's rare, too.
Greg, where are you going to be at 3:30 p.m. on March 13th.
I'm going to be at PAX East doing a panel with you, I believe.
That's right. We're going to be recording a live game sweep there. And we hope all of our listeners will join us there.
We're giving away a lot of cool crap.
Well, yeah, we're gathering lots of free games and free stuff. It's going to be us and Ty Root.
We might have a special guest.
Cool. Other guests to be announced. We have lots of surprises. We're planning a really big show for you guys. So
yeah,
it's going to be awesome.
I would say you could take Mjolnir with you and give it away, but I don't think you can take it on the plane.
You can't take it on a plane. It's a weapon of mass destruction, yeah, man.
I don't want you guys to get detained at the airport.
So 3:30 p.m. at the on the last day of PAX East, Sunday. Mm-hmm. Greg, you've been doing these Killzone of the Days for a couple weeks now.
Yeah, a couple weeks, Damon. You know, Killzone 3, it's a big game for the PlayStation 3 community. It comes out February 22nd.
So. It's an exclusive title.
Yeah, yeah.
Sony PlayStation 3.
Exactly. They don't have many of those this year, so you got to hold on to the few glimmers of hope come through the dark clouds. Yeah, so, you know, we got to review the game way early because Sony put an international embargo on it. So to fill that time, we started putting up Kills of the Day. Basically, you know, like 12 seconds, maybe 7 seconds, just a clip of somebody running up, getting knifed, getting shot, something like that.
Mm-hmm. And universally, everyone loves it, right?
Oh, you'd think so. You'd think so, but no, there's been some comments of people not enjoying it all that much. And then today, an email stood out to me that I thought we should address.
You got coffee all over your email.
I know. We got new beans upstairs, Damon. I get so excited. I just spill it all over the place.
Adam Robertson does not appreciate the Killzone Kills of the Day. He writes in to say, "What the hell is the point of the Killzone 3 Kills of the Day segment? I went on expecting extraordinary and or bizarre kills. Instead, I've been seeing basic kills that just look cool because they're in a good-looking game. Press L1 to snap a dude's neck or stab him. What's so special about it that makes it a kill of the day? I wish these were more exciting to watch while actually showing some skill. Maybe you should kill the segment altogether. That would be a kill of the day I'd go for." He zinged you there, Greg.
Yeah, he got us.
He got
IGN good as a whole.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm getting the sense that you're fighting.
I'm fired up, Damon.
And it might be time for another
blow Greg. The dust off it.
It might be time for Greg to tell the world what he thinks. So you ready?
60 seconds on the clock. 60 seconds. Full 60-second rant.
And you may begin.
Adam Robertson, fuck you. We're giving you free content. Yes, I understand. They're cool videos that you're getting for free. You can go on and see. Why are we doing it? People are interested to see Killzone 3. If you don't like the kills in the single player campaign, maybe that speaks to you not liking Killzone 3. I can't help you on this. And all of the motherfuckers in the comments saying, "Oh, thanks, IGN. Wait to run a 20-second ad before the 7-second clip." You pay $20 to IGN Insider. You never watch another ad on IGN again. You get all your videos streamed straight to your fucking ingrate faces where you can see it and go. This is what's wrong with the internet, Damie. Everyone thinks they're entitled to everything and they can just shit all over it. Yes, I'm sorry the clips are short and I'm not posting all of Killzone 3 campaign in one 8-hour video, alright? I'm giving you content showing you cool stabs to the face, to the eyes, guns that liquefy people, and you're pissing me off, and if you keep it up, maybe I'll never post another video again.
And Another spirited rant from IGN's Greg Miller.
Be nice, people.
I know, right?
If you, and not to mention, okay, so it's Kills and Kill today. The first day you go there, and you're like, oh, wait, this isn't that cool. 2 days later, not cool. Stop going there. Why do you keep coming back then? Yeah, maybe. Oh, I got to see what they're doing this time. Jesus. And, you know, and the ad thing pisses me off, too.
I know.
It's because I don't even think about it, because obviously I'm an insider. I don't mind giving IGN a couple bucks. Is it even 20 bucks anymore? Who the hell knows?
I don't know. I mean, it's not even, yeah, whatever. The insider thing is, you know, whatever. But come on, like, we put up like 100 free pieces of entertainment a day,
yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, we have ads on the site. That's how we make
our
money. That's how we get you free entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Jeez, and this Adam kid, man. And the fact that he's using our catchphrases in here, he's a fan. He knows us well enough,
I know.
And then he's going to come off and be a complete dick.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, you are officially relieved of podcast listening duties.
Oh, my God.
You don't have to listen to us anymore, all right? I'm sorry that our cool talking sessions for hours aren't as cool. Get the hell out. Ah!
Scat!
Scat! Shoo! You get off my porch, Adam Robertson! Get out of here! Shoo!
Let's check in with the listeners. Listeners, remember you can always email us at gamescoop@ign.com, just like Luke Frolic did.
Hey, Luke.
Luke says, I was wondering what you guys think about the strategies of the new handhelds, 3DS and NGP. Do you think that remaking classic games... What's
NGP's strategy? It's bigger and two sticks and there's no games.
Do you think Mr. Frolic can continue?
I don't think he can.
Okay. Moving on.
Kevin Lux.
He says, do you think that remaking classic games like the 3DS is doing, or coming out with new games based on existing franchises like NGP is doing?
Hold on, the 3DS is not remaking, it's making two classic games. We don't know what else it's doing.
This is what Luke is saying.
All right.
Getting the same fart.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, they're remaking Ocarina of Time.
And they are doing Star Fox as well.
And Metal Gear Solid 3.
And Kid Icarus. The NGP is doing that with 4.
No.
It's kind of what Nintendo
did. That was just a, hey, look, this we can run cutscenes.
Oh, they're not actually going to release that?
Now, who the hell knows what they're going to do. Okay. But
Nintendo did the same thing with the DS. They had, they just put out Mario 64 DS, right? Which I never played, but.
Yeah, they did that. But there's some other games for DS that came out after that.
There's some other games, yes. But as far as like early launch stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, for early launch. Yeah. That was what they did launch with.
Yeah.
We're not even getting that here. We're just getting Nintendox and launch.
Oh, thank God.
Plus cats.
That's speculation, by the way.
I am going to play Ocarina of Time again on the DS.
Oh, me
it looks
too.
Really pretty on the,
yeah, the
on
remake
DS.
Looks fantastic. But please continue, Frolic.
No, that's what he says.
His question.
Which one? So the DS is, he says the DS is, 3DS's approach is remaking old games, and the NGP's approach is making new games based on existing franchises.
Yeah.
That's Tobias, man.
Yeah?
I think that
yeah.
seems like typical Nintendo versus Sony strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, Nintendo's always remaking its old games. That's all it does. When I look at just from above, like just looking down at what
you're like
from Mount Olympus from with my
hammer, like golden hammer. I don't know. I don't play the Wii, and I stopped playing my
DS
a while ago.
You know why Sony doesn't do that? Because Crash Bandicoot sucks.
Take that back, or I will smash you with this hammer.
That's actually a 100% true fact. Crash Bandicoot has always sucked.
What?
Yes. I agree. There was no reason for him to exist.
No, that's true. But yeah, I see Nintendo do that. That's their MO. They remake their old stuff. They recycle their ideas over and over and over and over again. Is this a shock to anybody that that's what they're going to do with the 3DS?
No.
Plus the NGP has a little back thing that you can slide your fingers around.
Mm-hmm. That's me. That's this noise I make when I alternate my finger slides on the back.
All right, then. We didn't like that question. Kevin Lauer says, this is also a portable game.
So die, Luke Frolic.
Frolic.
Die, Luke Frolic.
There's another portable gaming question.
Ah, jeez.
He says, the once quiet portable gaming
space. That was
the
sensor sound.
Yeah, he's like reading through. See, this one's a dud like Luke's over here.
The once quiet portable gaming space looks to get pretty busy with 3DS, PSP2, and Windows Phone something or other. Always hard to predict what Apple is going to do. What do you think the next step for the iPhone is? It's been nothing but advancing the graphics the last couple of years. Do you think they need to do anything to keep this new gaming market they seem to have fallen into?
I think they're going to make a tiny one.
Tiny iPhone?
I think
the speculation out right now.
Yeah, they talked about that.
The iPhone will become a controller to use with your TV powered by Apple.
Your Apple TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They're not going to add a D-pad. That's my speculation.
No, they will not.
That's too bad. Because it'd be cool.
Too much of a design no-no for them to do.
I wonder if a third party could make one that fits in on the bottom, attaches somehow.
But then people would never make a game based on who has that peripheral.
No one will?
I mean, it won't be critical mass enough.
Well, but there's already plenty of games on there that are supposed to use traditional controls, but they have an on-screen version of it. So maybe it could
Well, I think it'd be great, but I think he's right. Like, nobody's going to retroactively change their game to have the D-pad stuff. And there's just too many people just like, yeah, we got to work around the D-pad. And they're just, I don't know if the tech can just be like, we're going to take the touch controls and make them D-pad. I just don't think it works that way.
Like, what if you could use the iPhone's touch sensitivity to control games, but not have to look at the screen you're tapping on or sliding on? Because the problem that I have a lot of times with iPhone games is I hate the fact that I'm covering up the screen with my hands. Mm-hmm.
Your fat fingers block what's happening.
Yeah. My big, giant old man hands. So if I could do that, if I could use that awesome like tech of being able to be very touch things and have them move around very sensitively on the screen and have be looking at my TV, that'd be awesome. I'd do that. My iPad, even better.
But I think the next step, like what this question, to answer it, I don't think they really have like a games perspective on their next step. For their phones, I mean.
Well, they stumbled into the gaming market.
And I think they're still pretty bad at, like, developing their gaming market. Like, they just suck at it. And we'll see.
Maybe they don't need to.
No, I don't think they need to.
Well, I mean, if they want to go further, though, don't they? If they want to make those experiences better. Like, I just did Back to the Future on an iPad, and I was disappointed because it's the best controlling one, like, as far as pointing, making him walk, and tapping where you want him to investigate and stuff. But then you get to cutscenes or whatever where the car is going back in time, and it's just... like it's so what? Framey, so stuttery, so stoppy. Yeah.
I don't see why that...
It can't run... It wasn't optimized to run on the iPad, so
that's just lazy. That part then, yeah.
Well, I don't know that part, but I mean, I've heard Dead Space. I can't download Dead Space.
You've seen Infinity Blade, and it's amazing.
And those are just cutscenes. I mean, come on.
It was running poorly on PS3 too, not as bad as the iPad. So
that might be the thing of Telltale.
Yeah,
I've noticed sometimes the reports are kind of shady. This is Quinn Sullivan. He says,
"Good name.
Hey guys, love the show. I've been listening since episode 30. You never 30?
That was the one
I think about then. Yeah.
Says you guys never disappoint to bring a show full of comedy. Me and my friends consider you guys to be the Rat Pack of the gaming world. Damon would obviously be Frank, Greg probably Sammy Davis Jr. and
really? Okay.
Levi would probably be Dean Martin just because of the voice he has.
I assumed I would be Jerry Lewis. I don't
know. Yeah, man, no, that's a no-brainer.
You are Sammy Davis Jr.
Okay. I thought I would be Liza Minnelli.
So you guys have a 60-year-old listener?
Quentin Sullivan.
He was frozen in ice.
It says, I do have a question. Recently bought a PS3. With it, I've purchased Uncharted 1 and 2. Soon be buying DJ Hero. My question is, are there any good local multiplayer games to buy for the PS3, excluding music games?
Little Big Planet.
Yeah. Scott Pilgrim is a great download. They play Castle Crashers together.
Hardcore Uprising.
Eventually.
It will be, yeah.
And I always recommend Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light.
Oh, right. Yeah, awesome. Dead Nation. It was a fun one. I had fun. Killzone has split screen.
You can play locally in Dead Nation?
Campaign. Yeah, you can play locally in
Snakeball.
Snakeball. I just deleted that off my hard drive. I need some space.
And you love Mod Nation Racers, man. Good chance to plug that.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it's a great one if you're looking for racing stuff. MotorStorm Apocalypse, I'm a big fan of. We went to an event last night. Got to play more of it. Still looks really good. Still fun to play.
Hey, did that cute little Excitebike game that you liked a lot have
Joe Danger.
Multiplayer?
Oh, we did it.
I never got to play that.
I don't think so. I think you can create levels and then. Well, no, I think it does that. Now that I think about
look
it.
Look it up on IGN.
Yeah.
I think I've seen. I think I remember. I remember seeing screens.
Yeah, different colors of. I'm gonna have to. I don't remember offhand.
Whoa.
Greg, how do you think this listener pronounces his name?
Oh, this is Faisal Wadi.
He says, "Hey, Damon, this is
Faisal Wadi,
better known as."
Fail sale what
to Greg. I'm your number one and probably only listener in Bahrain.
Ooh.
A tiny ass island next to Saudi.
Bahrain is having huge protests right now.
I was writing in to say that due to severe protests that are going on around these parts, the internet will be cut off all around my country. So I thought I'd write in and ask that.
Funny.
Wow.
Pretty good.
I see what he did there.
He's good. He's turning his country's turmoil into our laughs and yucks.
Yeah.
You think he's really from there? You think that was just some kid in Kansas who needed to have a yuck?
I hope it's just some guy.
Yeah. And the protests are not only going on, but they're also being quelled by the military, which is gross and sucks.
Gross. This is Nathan Jester.
The Jester.
It says, me and my friends would like to go to a video convention.
A video convention, huh? I recommend the Adult Video News convention. It happens, it's right around
AVN.
CES every
AVN.
Year.
I think he means video game convention, but he says video convention. So he has a couple questions.
Video convention.
He says...
Is it about VHS tapes?
What would be the most fun for the average gamer?
PAX. PAX Prime.
What kind of cost am I looking at?
Depends where you're
from. How much
from.
Do you have?
He says Life. We live in Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Are there any remotely close to here?
No. Well, I mean, not like a big one. Not like, I mean, there's got to be local conventions, sure.
Is there a PAX Chicago or something?
No, there's Wizard World Chicago. It's Wizard World Chicago, even though Wizard closed now. That's comic books, but they have game stuff.
Well, so the closest one would be PAX East.
The closest one that's like a big marquee name would be PAX East, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Nathan Jester, you and your friends get to the PAX East video convention.
Yeah. This March.
This March, Greg and I will be there, like we were just saying.
Yeah. Giving away stuff.
They should make their own in Missouri.
Sure.
Start your own.
We can go cover it then.
Start your own video convention.
Yeah, why not?
You could cover
with
beta.
With the Game Scoop, start your own video convention kit. What does
comes
it include,
complete with
Greg?
Majora's camera.
Majora's camera?
Huh. It's late in the day. Here we go. Just keep rolling.
He says, this is Pete Thomas.
That's a good name, too.
He says, my name is Pete Thomas, a.k.a. Odd Mr. T. While I prefer...
I don't like what you're doing there, Pete.
You'll like this. I prefer the PS3 to the Xbox.
Uh-huh.
The one thing I feel the Xbox has a clear lead on is the avatars. It's a small thing,
yeah, totally.
I know, but there's something that's really been pissing me off lately with the Xbox avatars. I like to create an avatar that reflects me. I'm sure I'm not alone here. I can get a pretty good match with the face and the clothing, but I want options to create an avatar that represents who I am.
Stop.
A 36-year-old, out-of-work high school art teacher with two kids.
It's just gonna
now,
get worse.
Hang on. Hear me out, please. I can create an avatar of myself wearing a gorilla costume and have a chicken dance around it, but I can't give my avatar a stinking bathrobe and a cup of coffee? That's all I want.
Can't you?
Seriously, with all of the ridiculous themes and props they have available, why can't they allow me this? I guess this isn't so much a question, but it's been really bugging me lately.
We'll pass it on to Microsoft.
Maybe you should spend less time thinking about your avatar and more time trying to get a job.
He's got two kids. They'll make money one day.
Gettys just tells it like it is.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. He's got them out there seeding fields and stuff. They're in these dingy diapers, just dropping tomato seeds in the ground.
He's on the porch with his cup of coffee in his bathroom, checking his Xbox.
The land's
avatar.
Coming on well today, isn't it, children?
Do you guys try to make a?
We don't want to plant tomatoes.
Why do they have tentacles arms?
Because they've been hunched over for so long with the bag of tomato seeds around it. They're filthy diapers. Filthy. Swaddling clothes, these children.
What do their voices sound like again?
Please, Father, we don't want to plant tomatoes.
They're British aliens.
Well, they get worked nonstop and they're always
hunched over. That comes through.
The characterization I'm giving you, I think you can really.
You painted a picture.
All right, this is Peter Freeman. I think we know him. Call sign Starbucks.
Yeah, I know that name.
Says, hey guys, love the show. I was curious about what everyone's guilty pleasure was. Mine is cable TV. Mostly Showtime shows, such as Episodes, Shameless, and my all-time favorite, Dexter. I would not consider any of those to be guilty pleasures. But those are just good TV shows, right?
Yeah.
But if you have any guilty pleasures, I really like Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. You talk about that all the time?
Really? Pizza Hut? That's fascinating.
I enjoy a good Cosmo. I like reading a Cosmo magazine.
Oh, I thought you meant the drink.
Oh, no. Just
David loves
reading.
Cosmos, the drink.
It's has to be the ultimate Cosmo.
I don't know. I'm kind of a Starbucks whore.
Yeah,
you
are.
You with those all the time?
It's true.
I mean, is that really a guilty pleasure?
Yeah,
I guess
it kind of is.
Yeah. Also, I like to masturbate a lot.
You do like to masturbate.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel guilty about that.
Okay.
You know.
Sam, what do you got for us? Buying arcade cabinets?
Yeah. I do feel guilty about that.
That's more of a nerdy pleasure, not a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I feel guilty about everything. You know?
You feel
but if we're talking about
it?
Food, I really like the crappy nachos you get from Circle K. Or like
that's a good one.
Or Fairgrounds, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, these are all like cop-out guilty pleasures, except for his. I mean, there's got to be something else.
Yeah, I do it a lot.
Into Majora's Hammer?
I'm doing it right now.
I like I like biting my toenails.
You do not.
That would be guilty.
Yeah, that'd be...
For sure.
I'll work on that. I'll come back to you guys.
It's your assignment for your next Game Scoop appearance.
Learn to eat boogers.
Wow. This is Steve Carley. Says, first of all, keep up the good work. You've turned my life dream from winning an Oscar to spending a day with you fine gents.
Who's this?
He's really like kind of taking it down a few notches.
Is this somebody who actually spent time with us?
I don't think we have. Oh. That's his life's goal.
I see. Okay.
Well, it was my life's goal to spend an hour with you guys on an internet radio thing.
Done.
Yeah, done.
Cross it off. It
says, anyway, I was wondering if you guys are excited as I am for Skyrim. I know not all of you got into Oblivion, but for those of you who did, what are you most excited for?
I just want to have the experience where, like, so one of my favorite gaming moments of all time is in Oblivion when you fight, you know, Patrick Stewart's there and he gives you your thing, your quest, and you fight your way through the tunnels, and then you open that door and you're all of a sudden out in the world, and it's this amazing open just place that you can explore. That was an awesome moment to me, and that's what I want out of Skyrim. I want that same moment where...
Can you say that again with a hammer?
I know, right?
Where I walk out that door, or I come through whatever, and then I realize that this huge place is just there, and I can do whatever I want.
I'm really excited for Skyrim, because we were talking about this a few weeks ago. I never played Oblivion.
What?
But we've already talked about this, right? You said that same exact...
I can say what every time you say it, because it's crazy.
Whoa, Dad, calm down.
But like, I'm, you know,
the hammer's up!
But like, I'm, you know, playing Fallout New Vegas. Like, I just love the those Western RPGs. So
yeah,
I'm really excited to check out
Are
Skyrim.
You going to play Oblivion before you play Skyrim?
I don't think so. That's an old game.
I've never played Oblivion either. And like, I only because people slag it around me all the time.
Wait a minute, I'm the only one in this room who ever played Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I always heard it was big and
fantasy.
Buggy.
All right.
Oh, superheroes. They're really cool. They wear tights and they fly around and they have laser eyes.
I was just giving you my impression of it. You're free not to like superheroes. I don't mind. Please live your own life. Don't worry about it, all right?
Wait, I can't tell what's happening.
I don't know either. He's trying to turn around.
Are we fighting
on you.
Or not?
He's trying to turn around.
I can't figure it out.
Hey, you guys,
hammer's gone here.
Powers. As everyone knows, you guys have gotten into a fight on GameScoop before.
Yeah, that's right. We should probably not.
Let's just come together and agree that we hate Luke Frolic.
Yeah, that guy sucks.
Dumb question.
Sorry, Sam. You were saying about...
Oh,
Oblivion?
I wasn't saying anything.
You said I'd never played Elder Scrolls, but...
No, I just heard it was big and buggy and a little, not that great. I mean, I don't remember hearing...
Horse
like,
armor.
I never heard somebody say, like, you gotta play this game.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Who talks like that? You gotta play this game.
I thought
like,
that was a Mark Ryan impression.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it has its problems, right? But so did Mass Effect 1, and a lot of people just love Mass Effect 1. So, I mean, there are certain things in the game you gotta forgive. Actually, a lot of people would argue Morrowind is a better game than Oblivion. I could see both sides of it, but... I don't know. You got to be into the whole just exploration thing and making your own character.
Do you think it aged well? I mean, is it worth playing?
I'm so excited for this.
I haven't gone back to it in a while, so I can't say whether it's aged well, but I actually should. I should fire it up again and see.
Well, I'm excited like Damon for Skyrim just because I would rather play that than play Oblivion at this point because I know it'll be better, bigger.
Yeah, I think a lot of the issues people had with it, with Oblivion were the fact that the enemies scaled with you, so you never had that feeling like you were turning into a complete badass. You could just whip anything you saw, and I think they'll probably change that for
I think
Skyrim.
It's silly that you walk around with a sword in first person, too. I think that's silly in a fight like that.
Oh, it's silly to the man holding the cardboard hammer? You think I'm going to agree with you, Sam? I'm not.
What about in Fallout, like when you're holding like a super sledge or something?
Yeah, I only play with guns in that.
Yeah, I
love the melee weapons.
Oh,
in that
game. I
don't like
the fist. Is the my favorite. The power fist. Yeah, my
spikes,
favorite thing.
Spike
in,
knuckles. Or,
yeah.
I don't have the vet.
Oh man, it's great.
I'm just not used to it, I guess.
We've arrived at our last email, and there's a photo here. Greg.
It's a photo. I can see it.
The subject line of the email is "Bionic Damon Rearmed."
Cool.
Do you remember when we were talking a couple weeks ago, I said if we were ever in a car wreck...
Oh, right. You'd download my intelligence into the arm.
Yeah, like if I lost an arm, I'd want to have...
Just like Bionic Commander.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so Sean Wilson, listener here...
For the 10,000 people that played that game that know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. We've talked about enough.
Okay.
Sean Wilson came up with a pretty good rendering of what that will look like when a year...
That's not bad. Look at the complexion differences. You got to tan my head at some point.
I got to take your head out. Get some sun.
What is on your computer screen there?
Girls.
Catherine, isn't it?
Yeah. Is Catherine an anime? Whatever. Sean Wilson knows that.
That's an upcoming game.
But I don't think that image
is. It's this crazy like adventure game with anime style graphics.
Well, Sean Wilson obviously knows that I usually like to have hot girls on my screen whenever I appear in videos.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we look good together, Greg.
Yeah, I could see that. That would work. That wouldn't be a bad life for me. I mean, I don't look happy at all in that photo. These are two interesting photos of us. I don't remember when that one was taken of you, nor I usually goof around in photos, and I am very stern in this photo my head has been used with.
Yeah, that's true. All right, we really like this, Sean. We're going to put it up on
Thanks
the
for leaving my glasses on, too, Dan. I enjoy that.
It's going to be hard for you to type with one hand from now on.
I think Greg is going to have to, like...
My tongue sticks out?
Yeah, your tongue is going to, like...
Like, I'm dead, like I'm dead, right? Or my intelligence is still there.
Yeah, your intelligence is still
there. So am I talking to you?
Yeah, I think you can talk to me. Mm, you know, okay. We're still going
to
hang out.
Are you using my hand to grab things then?
Greg,
I dropped my pen. No, damn, I grab, you're rubbing my mouth on the floor.
I'm still going to, like, put the headset on you, and you can still be on the podcast with me, too.
Oh, well, that's okay, then. Then I'm all right.
Yeah, it'll be good. We love it. It's great. That's all the scoops we have here this week. So we have a 3-day weekend. Everybody enjoy your, have a great President's Day. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Damon.
My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop. And we're out.
Don't listen anymore, Luke Frolic.
come get up. Beware.
IGN GameScoop.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.